Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, as you're turning there. Proverbs 22 verse 1 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen above all riches." And this morning we want to say, for those that are called mom, what a name that is. And we praise you and thank God for you. Happy Mother's Day. Comedian Milton Berle said one time, "If evolution is really true, then why do moms only have two hands?" Theodore Hesburgh said, "The most important thing a father can do for his children is to love his mother." Robert Browning said, "Motherhood, all love begins and ends there." Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am and all that I hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." And even God himself knows the value and the importance of our mothers, his creation. And so in Isaiah 66 verse 13, God says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem." God knows how to use earthly people to exemplify his love. And one of the ways that he uses that is through moms. So today we honor the Lord by honoring those moms that God has given us. Now, I know birth moms are awesome, and we praise God for our birth mothers. And so if you're happy for your mother, give a good hearty amen.
Amen.
All right. But I want to go beyond our natural mothers, because it's mom's and dad's role, and it's very important that we play not only in our homes, but also in our churches and in our society. You've heard the old axiom, it takes a village to raise a child. It's the power of influence. You may not know this, but God has established moms not just for the home. It's very important for each person to know that you are an influence to other people. And so you may be a mother figure to somebody. And I know we talk about on Mother's Day, Eve. Eve is the mother of all women. She was the first woman taken out of Adam. You know, the mother of Moses, she made a difficult decision to put her child in a basket and put him in the river and trust God that he was going to take care of him. You know, Samuel's mother, she prayed for a child, and when she finally got one, she gave him back to the Lord and devoted him wholeheartedly to God. Even Jesus' mother, Mary, what must that be like to raise the Son of God? And then, of course, the Proverbs 31 woman. Wow, whoever finds that woman, that man, those men are very blessed. And so today I want to do a little different approach, because those women are important. Our mothers are important, yes. But I also want to talk about a different aspect, because some people don't have the greatest godly mothers. Some people don't have mothers at all. And so we need to remember that we're going to be the best influence to these folks that we possibly can. So be a good mother figure, not only to your kids, but also to everybody that you come in contact with. Look with me at Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 to 50. While he was talking, Jesus, while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one of them said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you." But he answered and he said to the one who told him, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Rob Peterson, would you open us up in a word of prayer, please? Amen. Thank you. So here in chapter 12, Jesus is talking about all kinds of things. He's talking about he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He heals on the Sabbath. A house divided amongst itself can't stand. He talks about the unpardonable sin, which is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. We've been talking in James, and he talks in chapter 12 about you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. And then we come down to this part, and he goes, look at verse 46 to 48. He says this, while he was still talking to the multitudes, he's pouring his life into them, telling them some good information that applies in so many ways. And he says, while he was talking to him, his mother and brother stood outside, and they wanted to speak to him. And he said to the person that asked him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside. They want to speak to you. But he answered and he said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? So here is the first question that the Lord asks. Number one, who is your mothers? Who is our mothers? Most people would respond by saying it's the person that gave them birth. And yes, that is true. Absolutely. But is that the end of the question? Does it stop right there? No. Jesus says it goes a little further. Look at verse 49 and 50. And he said, and he stretched out his hand towards his disciples, and he said, here are my mother and my brothers, and whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother, brother and sister and mother. And so he's looking out to the multitude of the people, and he says, here. So if you look to the church and I said, who is my mother? And I'd say, well, it's Kathy Zediker and she's in Texas right now. But this morning right here, if I were to say, who is my mother? I would look out here and I would say, any woman that's in this auditorium is my mother, is my sister. The men are my brothers, my fathers. We are a family here. This is a family affair. So when it comes to the people of God, we're family. And so who is your mother? It's anybody that's an influence for God in your life. That is your mother, or should be. Matter of fact, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 and 2, he says, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with all purity. We're to treat all people in the church as our brothers and sisters and our mothers and fathers. Amen? I mean, some of them are not related to us. Some of them probably have never had children. But God wants us to set a good example because we may be the only good godly figure and the only good motherly figure that these younger folks will ever see. If we're a part of the family of God and they're a part of the family of God, then they are our fathers and our brothers and sisters and yes, mothers. They ought to be treated with the same honor and respect as we would treat our physical mothers. John the Apostle set this example while Jesus was still on the cross in John chapter 19, verse 26 through 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. Do you know, and I know Jesus had brothers and sisters from Joseph and Mary, but Jesus said, this is now your mother, take care of her. And from that moment forward, John the Apostle took care of Jesus' mother. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Took her into his own home and took care of her. This is our church home here. The church are the people, and we know that. The church is the body of Christ, and it's made up of all kinds of believers. But when you come into a local assembly, this is a local family right here, made up of brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, and we are a family. And we can't forget that. We cannot forget that. Not everybody has a godly mother who sets the best example. And not every one of our mothers are still alive today. And so we need to remember that we're still setting that example. Number two, what role is there for mothers in our family? Not only in our homes, but also in the church. Paul says in Titus chapter 2, 2 to 3, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and patient. And the older women likewise, or in the same manner, having the same attributes as the men, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. We praise God for our Awana workers, our Awana moms, that teach our younger kids good things. especially when it comes to the things of the Lord. We praise God for our teen workers who teach those teens that come in here that do not have good godly mother and good godly father figures in their lives. And we praise God for those people that are the best influence that they possibly could be. I heard a pastor once say, he challenged people that they ought to have a Barnabas and a Timothy in their lives at all times. A Barnabas was someone that mentors other people, someone to mentor us. And a Timothy was somebody who needed mentoring. And so mothers, who are you mothering? Who are you mentoring? And daughters, who is mothering you? Or who are you allowing to mentor you? We need to seek those folks out. We need to be ready to learn. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says, not only do we give people the gospel, but we give them our lives too. It's not just so much that we give them the salvation message or an invitation to accept Christ. We need to pour our lives into people. It's relational. Our relationship with God should be shown in our relationships with other people. You can tell a lot by somebody's relationship with the Lord by looking in their family life, husband and wife, how that relationship goes. Tells you a lot how their relationship with the Lord is. You can tell a lot about somebody's relationship with the Lord by the way their relationships with other people in the church go. And so if this is a relational thing, we ought to have relations with other people. Even though we're brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and we all have problems with one another at some point in time, but it's still pouring our lives into people, giving them our best. And so that's what moms did. Number three, you don't have to be perfect. Now, I don't say this to be mean. I don't say this to be rude. But there are no perfect moms. Amen? Here's the idea. Sometimes the best moms do what is best for the child, regardless of the outcome for the mom. Moms' dreams sometimes are giving up their careers, their life pursuits, so many things for their children, and even sometimes good moms are not appropriate women, but they do what is best for their child. There's a story of Solomon and all of his wisdom. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 3. What an odd story to give on Mother's Day. But listen to 1 Kings chapter 3, starting in verse 16. Solomon gets all this wisdom from God, and people come from all over to see what God has done with Solomon. And so in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16, he says, now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, oh my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth, and we were together. And no one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night, took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, then he was dead. But when I examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son whom I had born. Then the other woman said, no, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son. And the first woman said, no, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. And the king said this is my son who lives, and your son is dead. And the other one says, no, but your son is dead, and my son is the living one. And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought him a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the little child in two. Give one half to the one and the other half to the other. And the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, oh my Lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him. But the other one said, no, let neither be mine nor yours, but divide him. And so the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is the mother. Isn't it amazing? Now, that's a horrible story. I mean, according to the Old Testament law, you know, harlots weren't allowed to live. Prostitutes weren't allowed to live. But here's the thing, God still cares about all those people. And two prostitutes came before the king. And here the king gives his judgment. God give him wisdom. And praise God for God's wisdom. Because he figured out who the true mother was. The one mother who is not the child of this, or the mother of this child, she wanted it cut in two. And said, well, if I can't have it, neither of us are going to have it. But the true mom, out of compassion, true motherhood. She wasn't a perfect mom, was she? Prostitute, living in the house of the prostitute, having children out of wedlock. I mean, but you know what? She did what was best for her child. And she says, no, if you're going to kill him, just give the whole child to her. Let her raise him. That's what's best for the child. See, it's amazing. Moms sacrifice so much for their children. Thank you, Mom, for always doing what is best for us and not always what the child wants. Thomas Edison once said, I didn't have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence which has lasted all of my life, and the good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation, her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I should never have likely have been an inventor. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of a different mental caliber, I should have turned out very badly. But her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness were potent powers to keep me in the right path. And my mother was the making of me, and the memory of her will always be a blessing. What a loving tribute to a blessed mother. And let me close with this tribute to our mothers, a poem, God's Special Creation, by Lenora McCorder. She writes, "The hand that rocks the cradle also makes the house a home. It is the prayers of the mother that keeps the family strong. Mother rises early in the morning and bathes her day in prayer. She talks to God about her family and places them in his care. Mother communicates her love in a thousand different ways. When there's a need, she is there, whether it's night or day. Mother seasons life with love and gives so much of herself. God placed in her the best he had and made her unlike anyone else. When challenges come our way and when trials block our view, Mom kneels down beside her bed and prays the family through. Mother is God's special creation. She is a light shining in the dark, illuminating the path for her family and pointing them toward God." Proverbs 31, verse 28, talking about a mom, says, "Her children arise and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her." There's no better way than I can think of that we can honor God, but by praising our moms. Praise God for moms. Amen. Would you stand with me? We'll give just a moment of invitation here as the praise team comes. We'll just give a moment to just say, you know, maybe you'd like to pray for your home. Maybe you'd like to pray for your family. Maybe you'd like to pray for your mom. Maybe you'd just like to pray and say, "Thank you, God, for my mom. She led me to the Lord. She led my family to the Lord. She was the best godly influence I could have." And so, as the music plays and they sing, sing along. And if you'd like to just give it to the Lord, we pray that you come as the Lord inspires you in your heart. Whatever it is, leave it at the foot of the cross.